so-called friends on Facebook you actually know or not, because I think we all realize that a lot of people that could be our quote-unquote friends, they may be in another world and we've never even met them, but we're so flattered somebody sent us a friend request.
What a subjective word Facebook used, you know what I mean? Well, let's call them friends. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Hey, Missy, what if they had called that strangers, you know? How many strangers did you get today? Now, think a minute, ladies. Dr. Facey, you go to Facebook and say, whoa, I've got 25 strangers today that tried to connect with me. And you say, well, how many strangers do you have? We'd make a whole new meaning to the word stranger. Think of that. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Well, I have to tell you, friends, in a era of social media, technology, communications, the buzzes and the tweets and the toots and the rings and the... I mean, everything is just tooting and tweeting and going off. It's like almost your phone or your computer has, you know, those body sounds, you know, when your body has a gas or something. It's like it's like every time I turn around. Well, you know what? That doesn't happen for me. Do you know why? Because I have all the sounds off. I don't like is when the phone starts talking back to me. Hate that. So, life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. Welcome, friends. We're on season two here. And our co-host today, I would like you to meet, Dr. Faye Wilson is with us. She's a radio and television talk show host and author and an inspirational speaker. She's an ordained minister and underdog advocate. And also joining us, our co-host, Missy Crutchfield, is here. She's the co-founder of Gandhi's Bee Magazine and of Gandhi Global Center for Peace. She's a globally award-winning journalist and a human rights activist. And so good to have both of you on as co-hosts today on Life, Liberty. Social media, what was really funny about this segment, in full disclosure, friends, so as we're getting ready just now in doing this, well, guess what? So Missy says, well, I got to shut all the beats and the toots and the tweets and the things off on the phone because we're going to be talking here digitally and we're going to, you know, record this. I said, okay. And so I said to her, you know, when we're done with this segment, you're probably going to have to take your phone into the doctor's to be checked because it's not going to know what to do once you've removed all of these tweets and bells and whistles. And so let me start there. Missy, do you, with your phone and all, do you have your phone set up so that it sends a audio message to you, like a tweet or a toot or a vibe or a ring? Or do you like things to tell you?
On almost everything, Malcolm. As a matter of fact, I tried to turn everything I possibly could off, and I still just a second ago heard it zzz. And it's, you know, you'll be in a meeting and you'll hear somebody's phone vibrate or something, even though they're trying to be polite and put it on vibrate instead of ringing. And automatically everybody looks at their phones because it's that same vibration
stop. Now, how rude is that, though? Why are people now in these meetings, first of all, and they got the phones on the table? It's like a third arm to these people. It's like, you know,
it's true.
I want to have a meeting, Missy. I want to have a meeting or a gathering of the minds where there's a basket outside the door and you have to leave your phones in the basket. And that's just the way it is.
Like they do in school. I think that's a great idea because they look at their phone and then they start texting. And that's what really seems disrespectful.
I tell you, I find it annoying. Dr. Faye, if we were out on a cafe one afternoon having lunch or what have you, would you do that to me?
What, take your phone?
No. Would you be texting and talking on your phone while we're talking and having lunch?
I would turn it off. We're still learning etiquette. social media etiquette, smartphone etiquette. And as a society, we have a long ways to go.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Missy, when she talks about etiquette, you know. I did an episode on Malcolm Out Loud TV on our television program, about a couple of years ago, actually. And it was about social media, as it was just getting crazy out in the public space, you know. And
it's the Wild West.
It is the Wild West. And I called that show, Missy, get a load of this. I called it Social Media is the New Road Rage. You see?
Yes.
And what I mean by that is that there is no etiquette when it comes to social media, because I have to be honest with you. You take products like Facebook, which I am not a fan of, by the way. I find it brings out the worst in people.
Yes.
You know?
One thing I want to say about meetings, it's funny because people are trying to sort of circumvent their addiction to social media and technology. So sometimes someone might schedule a meeting, especially if it's just one or two people, and say, well, I'm expecting this message or that. So make excuses coming into the meeting that they're going to have to be on their phone some. They're going to have to take this text or that. So they go ahead and say it up front. So it's still supposed to be polite and fit in the etiquette, but it's just wrong.
Missy, that's so good what you say. It's like this. So you walk into an apartment, like say, well, like you said, now you're qualifying that you're going to be rude, ignorant, and just really not nice, right? Right?
Yes.
But at least you're honest about it. I mean,
hey.
Come on. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm honest about it. So, like, that qualifies us somehow as, okay, you have my permission to be rude to me now because you told me that in advance. But let's stop a moment, because I really believe this is a problem. And
yeah.
And I want to say to you both, I want to say to all of our listeners that listen to me here carefully. As we now are entering in to the robotic world, we're at the very, very, very early, early, early moments of artificial intelligence and the AI world in combination with human beings. And all that is going to take off. And we've talked about this on my daily show. We've talked about it on our platform. And as all this happens now, okay, I am seeing that we better get our etiquette in place now to understand what's party. Because here's what worries me, ladies. What worries me is we are losing the fabric of society and the social touch of human beings. I tell you, for me, ladies, I want to sit down and I want to look at you in the eyes. I want to see your eyes. I want to be able to talk to you. And, you know, and I mean, isn't that where it's at?
I have a 20-year-old, and I talk to him about this sometimes, and I look around and I see with our young people, and they may be, you know, technology may be their first language or certainly an absolute literacy because they're on iPads when they're 2 years old or whatever now, but they can't look you in the eye and have a conversation, or if they do, it's not for long. They've lost that human contact, that part of social engagement interaction, and I think that's dangerous.
It's really, really bad.
Yeah.
I can't believe you have a 20-year-old, by the way. Before you go, Dr. Faye, I can't believe you've got a 20-year-old. I seen your picture, and you don't look anything like that. But go ahead, Dr. Faye, as you were.
I totally agree with what Missy is saying. And the fact that we have, as parents, as grandparents, as adults, we have allowed technology to take over the lives of our children. If you think of a few years ago, it seems to me now, that where we were talking about television being the babysitter, being the parent for our children, so we pushed them in front of the television. But today, we now give them smartphones. I have a 7-year-old niece who has a smartphone, and that is her play pal. That's her entertainment. That's her recreation. And she is allowed to spend hours and hours and hours on that smartphone. Why? Because as a parent, you don't have to schedule parenting time. You don't have to schedule being along with your child and to rear your child the way God intended, because now you have another gadget that has replaced the television. So when I speak of etiquette, I mean just common sense, the stuff that we learn in our generation, well, my generation, where, you know, your mom told you not to talk to strangers, you know, to be nice to people and to be respectful. We lose that when we pick up a smartphone. It makes us not so smart. We lose that when we pick up social media and use it as a substitute for having this interaction that Malcolm talked about, going out to dinner with somebody, you know?
I absolutely agree.
Do you both think we should start calling them dumb phones? I mean, really, though, they're dumb devices, aren't they?
I think we should call them phones of distraction.
The phones of mass
and destruction. There's so many. Dr. Faye, thank you so much for expressing that. And then we haven't even gone into, nor would we have time. There goes my beeping again. Nor do we have time for talking about it's a whole show, at least the dangers, the predators, the young girls that think they're talking to somebody their age, and it could be somebody 50 plus that's got a sexual predator, sexual abuse history, you know, any number of things that happen all the time to young girls and young boys or teens for that matter. And in addition to just the danger of the obsessing over technology and the parents, Dr. Faye, to your point about giving them the babysitter being the iPad, I think for a long time and perhaps still a lot of people feel like it's education for their kids so they can set them down with this technology, with the iPad, and leave them for hours thinking that they're preparing them for school or they're giving them an educational device when really they're giving them an addiction to this technology.
Well, I got two ladies. I got a 15-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy. So pray for me, will you please? And so they are both at that point age where it's really weird. Because let's face it, in the teen years and going through those puberty years, they're the strangest years of life, you know? They really are. And you don't really know how to deal with it all. So the point is that they rely so much on this social media stuff. But I want to tell you both something I will share with you. You know what's kind of really interesting about my two, that they did this, and they did this on their own, actually. They did this in knowing that there were a lot of bad cats out there, and you have to be careful how much you tolerate on this social media business or on the internet. Because the internet is like opening up the front door of your house. You see?
Yeah.
It's like you are now exposed to whoever it is and the mercy of their awkwardness or evilness. And so, but you know what my two learned early on and they've done from the beginning to this very moment? Do you know something? They do not, and never have, they do not use their real names on social media or their public identity. How's that?
That's smart. So smart.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
They figured that out, Missy. I'm telling you. Wow. And they figured that out early on. And they have several profiles and they use various, you know, they'll use certain names that are very consistent with that. But they don't ever use their real name out there. And they sort of know that they're dealing with sort of a problematic, if you will, a troubling environment. OK. And a world that is clearly unpredictable, you see.
Yeah, but Malcolm, that also makes a statement about parenting, that they made good choices. So somewhere along the line, you guys navigated them to make those good choices. So when the parent's not in the room and the child still understands the right and wrong, understand how to choose well, then that reflects back on how the parents have taught them.
You know what I always say to my kids, what I always say to my boy, and both of them actually, but him a lot, in a word, I can sum it up for you. It's called character. You see, character is a word that is no longer used in the public space and with our kids and environments and society. And let me tell you something, ladies. Character is really important because you know why? Character is when you do the right thing when nobody is looking.
Very absolutely. True. Malcolm, I couldn't agree with you both more about parenting and modeling, exhibiting the behaviors in your own life when no one's watching, your kids learn that. Unfortunately, some parents do that. It's probably more difficult in single parent homes, but you know, hopefully you're still separated in that case, but modeling good behaviors. But so many parents I talk to, and I've experienced some of this in my own life with my son, and you wonder, what are you doing? I don't teach this. We didn't do this in our home. I did not model disrespect, etc. But they're in this culture there with the boys. They want to look hip. They want to being hip hop or something, and they go through that period, the hormones are raging and they're rebelling, and you're going, what happened? Did I just black out and become, where did he learn this from? And it's very frustrating. So there's a lot of parents out there, and then the guilt kicks in because you go, well, what did I do wrong? And I think every child, every case is different. My son has come through an amazing experience, very challenging, very, very painful for all of us, being a young man and all of this, the things that happen, and he's coming through it. But there was a time not too long ago when I just sleepless nights, you're wondering, you know, what time is he going to get home? Is he going to be home? Is he going to, you know, some of the kids in the neighborhood, you know, with the gangs and things, you have to throw a lot up to God and faith and prayer and just keep going. But
Missy, do you have two children?
Different.
Do you have a boy and a girl?
I have one. I have one son.
Okay, one son. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And Dr. Faye, do you have children?
No, I do not. Okay. My seven-year-old niece is enough. Thank you.
Yeah, you're the smart one in the group. Can I add
one thing to this, just sort of tag on to the teaching character and modeling in homes? We work with Arun Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi's grandson. And I just want to share this because it really hit me several years ago when he was speaking to a group through Gandhi Global Center for Peace and Gandhi's Be Magazine. And he said, the one thing that's missing in education, and this he feels is the most important thing that we should have in place, and that's compassion. We don't teach compassion. We teach everything else. It's like giving kids all of this smarts and the ability to go out and do amazing things, great things in the world, without teaching them how to connect with their heart and their mind and their compassion in the world. So I use the example, it's like Voldemort. You can be great and bad, or you can choose to be great and good. And if we plug in compassion in education, which includes obviously character, then I think that we'll have different outcomes.
And I was thinking about, as you were speaking, Missy, about the compassion and the character that Malcolm referred to. When we're talking about social media today, and when we allow technology to replace those talks that we can have with our kids and teaching them those life lessons, we are doing them an injustice, because whatever seed we sow is going to come back in a harvest. So we have to be careful what seeds we're sowing into the lives of every child, whether that's our biological child, or you're the teacher in the classroom, or you're the pastor of the church, or a mentor or coach or head of Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, if they still exist. But to be able to mentor and to coach and to counsel children along life's paths, don't turn them over to God knows who, because when you put a smartphone in their hand and say, go play, you are turning them over to God knows who.
Exactly.
You don't know who's on the other side of that social media platform, because as Missy stated, it is full of predators. It's full of people who are out to do your children hurt and harm, and to do you hurt and harm. I mean, the fraud that has increased, the scams that have increased, because the internet has made us a smaller world. We are all interconnected, whether we want to be or not. We can access people from Trinidad to Alaska all in the blink of an eye. Because of the internet, it is a great place. It is a great, we're here because of technology. We don't curse the thing that brought us over, right?
Right.
We bless it, we don't curse it, but we have to educate people and to on how to use these things. And when we pass, you won't give your car keys to your Maserati to your 15-year-old.
Exactly.
I mean, that would be insane. So we have to train up our children in the way they should go. So find out what they're doing online. What are they doing? Who are they connected with? What kind of games are they watching? Have you seen YouTube lately?
Well, I'll tell you, some of the stats that I'm seeing in the amount of time that we're spending on some of these programs that you're saying and social media things is indeed a real eye-opener. And the more I look at some of these numbers, and really, it really comes back to, like everything else in your life, it's a balance. It's a balance. It's about having the right diet in your life. It's all of those various ingredients that make the person, if you will. Well, the problem today is a lot of people just simply don't know how to turn it off. It's they're on all the time. And it's like everything, it becomes very, very addictive. Just recently this past week, one of the senior executives with Facebook came out and was in his glee and glory as he was sharing with the world in a bit of a devious interview, if you ask me, and was sharing how, we put as much in there that we can get your dopamine hooked as we can. And we knew we were going to do it, and we did it. Ha, 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 ha. It was such an evil interview. If you both seen that, let's talk about that just on the other side of the pause. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are back, season two, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Folks, this is 10 extraordinary women from around the globe. And with global views, and they're accomplished ladies and people that want to set the world out and do some cool things and make a difference. That's what we do here on this show on Life, Liberty, and it's what we do on our entire platform at America Out Loud. So we invite you back there always. You know, throughout the season here, we're going to be talking on all kinds of things. There'll be all kinds of topics, you name it. And of course, if you've seen season one, you know that really nothing is off limits on this show. We go there and we talk about all the things that, you know what it is? We're talking about real life. And we're talking about it, and I think all these people are most authentic. But this show was really a movement. It's what Life, Liberty, Pursuit of Pleasure has become. It's really a movement. And it's a movement that empowers women, and it empowers people to be the very best. Now, let me share with you as well that it's not just women who listen to this show. And I know that because our analytics show that men loved this show by far. And we had a lot of guys listening in the cars on the way home. I know because we heard from a lot of those cats. And a lot of them were military guys even and big guys. And I said, you know what? We love this show because we're talking about real issues, real life stuff. So anyways, thanks for being here. And again, you hear us every day live, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can hear us anywhere in the world. On Android or Apple, just get our apps and we stream there, or listen to us on iHeartRadio or AHA Radio. Tune in any of the talk radio networks. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio. There's a show page back at America Out Loud, too, where you can connect with all of these ladies and their websites and Twitter feeds, and we'll share more of that with you ahead as well as we continue on with the season here. We're early on in the season. We're really, truly excited about what we've got here, and today's show, our co-hosts are Dr. Faye Wilson and Missy Crutchfield, as you know, and I'm so pleased to have both of them here and talk about this social media bit here. Some of the stats and some of the numbers are pretty incredible. So, and I want to read you a couple of things here now and some points and facts that are really eye-openers that you need to know, okay? So we're talking about the social media penetration. And worldwide, it is increasing to rates and stats like we've never seen. So, in 2017, already here, this year, 71% of internet users were social network users. In other words, almost everybody is engaged on social media, is what they're saying. But listen to this. In North America, we rank first among regions in the world where social media is the most popular, okay? And with a social media penetration rate, again, as I said, 66% in 2016 and more than 81% of the population just in the United States alone that have a social media profile. Now, that is some pretty big numbers when you take a look at the populace, ladies, and you see how many people are engaged. And when I'm talking social media now, I'm talking everybody's got their favorites. I mean, you got Facebook, you got Twitter, you got LinkedIn, but then you got, you know, things like you said, YouTube, but you got Pinterest.
Instagram,
that's another big one, yeah, with all the photos. But one of my biggest problems that I'm seeing is I think people are sharing too much. Okay. I think they're putting too much information out there, very personal information. And I think,
Yes.
quite frankly, there are a lot of bad cats that are looking at this information that want to do harm to people. I think that's a real problem today. And that's the one thing I can't support. And I don't suggest anybody do that. Are you seeing that yourself, ladies?
Yeah, I'm seeing it, and I've been talking to my nieces and nephews about the information that they post, because even your photos are being used now. And when you apply for a job, they're actually checking your Facebook profile now.
Yes.
They're checking your LinkedIn profile to see what kind of photos you're posting, what information you're sharing out there, and that can be used against you. And I've warned them that there are people that are not intending to do you good. There are people who have set up their own profiles and not using their real names, alias, and
Right.
they're looking for children. They're just looking for ways to hurt our kids, and we need to be aware of that. So yeah, we have to be conscious of everything. And the other thing is this, is that whatever you post online stays online.
It's there
Right,
forever.
that's
That's
it.
absolutely right. I was reading an article, and it was talking about how girls may start out trying to do something like sing a song, or with innocent interest in trying to share maybe a talent or something, and then they begin finding out they get more likes by wearing something very, sexually explicit, or something, or the more clothes they take off. And there was an article where they talked about a 13-year-old skateboarder who calls himself a baby scumbag, and this
Oh,
is a
that's an attractive
13-year-old,
handle, isn't it?
right? And then he would do skateboard tricks and have his girlfriends be on there. And then he started realizing that the more the girls took off their clothes, the more likes he got, more than even his skateboard tricks. So, these predators, these people are out there going, yeah, go on, do it, do it, do it. And these kids are thinking, wow, they love me, they like me, this is what they want. And it just becomes a very dangerous, dark, downward spiral. And then, speaking of dark, there's a dark web. That's really, really scary. There's another side of the web. There's a place, it's called the dark web. I've never been on it, but I've read about it, and I've heard about it. And this is where all these things go down. I think drug deals probably happen. I'm sure the police, the FBI are monitoring this, but you've got a lot of extremely sinister and expert hackers and things. So, it's just one chasing one drug, sex, after another, and the viruses, and it's a very dark world there.
Yeah, the dark web is not a good place at all. We did a specialized special show on that some time ago here. It's something we should cover again, but a lot of people don't even know that exists, Missy. I mean, they're not even aware, but you're right, it's drug, but here's what it is, love. It's drug deals and that sort of thing. Sure. But it's also illegal arms. It's a lot of bad cats on there. I mean, we're talking all the worst stuff of life is on that dark web, you see? Yeah. I mean, pedophiles hang out there and everything else. It's pretty bad, ladies. It's not a place you want to be at. I've never been on there either as well. I have no desire, but I hear there's a lot of stuff in there and a lot of information in here. It's a whole nother world. And it just kind of leaves you in a bit of a quandary thinking, what are we doing here? I mean, listen, I want to say to you both, I get annoyed sometimes. People that run around saying, and I hear this, all right, full disclosure, I hear this a lot out there. Say, oh my God, oh today, oh it's so bad, oh the kids are horrible today, oh the generation is bad, oh the people suck today, oh this is bad. I got news for you, ladies. Bad has been around, evil has been around
Yes,
all the way since the
absolutely.
garden scene, okay?
Absolutely.
And the
Absolutely.
point of it is that the only difference today is what you're saying, Missy. You got this product of the web and the dark web and the evil, and we
Yeah.
just gave them a place to so technology and social media, what we're saying here is simple, really simple. There's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad. And you've got to
Yes.
know where the difference of those two roads are. And we've got to
It's
shape
a
this new
tool.
generation to know that we want them to be in the good, not the bad. You see?
When you hand a kid a cell phone, you could very well be handing them, it could be the equivalent of a gun. if they know how to handle a gun, they're okay. They can do something on that cell phone, like Dr. Fay said, that they'll be stuck with for the rest of their lives, because you write it, you put it out there, it's basically there forever. You can ruin your job, you can ruin your life, you can do things online that you can be arrested and go to prison for years.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And this conversation is so good because, and let me tell you why, Malcolm and Missy, is because there's, when you talk about the dark web and all of the bad things that are happening inside of social media, I believe in my heart of hearts that good will outweigh the bad. And the more we educate through programs like this, Malcolm and Missy, the more we speak of the positive and how to use it, even when parents are not being parents, that if kids actually access this, and not just the kids, we're talking about adults that are accessing all of these other things, be able to put it out there so people, at least we shine the light a little bit in those areas to say, are you spending too much time in social media? Where is your balance in life? Know how to put the baby to bed. Turn the phone off at night. Don't let it consume your relationships. I spoke to a woman who, and we were talking about this very thing, and she said, Dr. Fay, I didn't even think about it. When I go out to eat with my husband, we go out to dinner, I'm sitting there on my phone, and he looks across the table at me and asks me, what are you doing? And she said, I have become so accustomed to talking on my phone, texting people while we're having dinner. Yeah. I lost him. I had lost him. And he was just sitting there with no conversation because my conversation was with the person who's on my phone or I'm texting back and forth. We cannot replace human connectedness with technology. I cannot hug my computer while I can hold it. I can't hug it. It's not going to hug me back.
It
won't hug me back. It won't love me back. The phones have been a distraction. We need to just learn how to balance our lives. And families, parents, those who are listening, plan some time that you actually have dinner with no electronics at the table.
Right. And we've become, especially in America and in the West, we've become so obsessed with working more, working harder, working longer, that we feel guilty if we take that time, if we take a minute to just, you know, oh, I can't take any time for myself. I need to jump through more hoops. I worked longer today. And we think that we're going to get rewarded more. Or we've convinced ourselves that. And actually, in reality, it creates less productivity. Right. If you don't get a good night's rest, you're less alert, you're less creative, you're less productive. It's the exact opposite, but we keep convincing ourselves, work more, work longer, I'll get more advanced. It's crazy. Yeah. And so you feel guilty if you take that extra time, even with your family.
I want to ask you both, how do you think, and turning the conversation a little bit with social media, how can social media, let's talk about empowering women for a moment, please. I know it's a topic you both that is near and dear to you two. But let's talk about it. In other words, let's talk about the good now and the opportunities that exist in this world of technology, and specifically to the point of how it can empower women today. Let's talk to that point, please, because I think that's a real eye-opener. And I know you both have vast experience in this realm of using this to the ability of all the good that can be used with it. Missy, talk to that point a moment, will you?
Well, I thank you. I love this, and I've written a play called Sisters Speak Out, and I've facilitated lots of conversations and workshops with young girls trying to raise awareness of girl empowerment and standing up for yourself and respect, and also awareness around domestic violence. But and on the same hand, because the girls are only as good as the boys, as good as the girls, right? So trying to bring in the conversation that, and being the mother of a son, my child happened to be a son. So that's kind of my reality check, that we can't just, you know, put down all boys. We've got to say, hey, you know, we're in this together. So you've while the girls are getting empowered, the community needs to support the boys too. But through social media, we can put out messages, and through, you know, activism, I'm an activist. So while I'm talking about human rights and social justice and women's empowerment, we can share message about, you know, we're in this together, brothers and sisters. We can post videos. We can, you know, give shout outs to young, strong women who are, you know, future leaders, and look what Malala did and won the Nobel. And I mean, so, these are the inspiring stories that in the end will win. And so we take all of the awareness that we have about the danger and the challenges and the bad things that are out there, but we focus on the good, because that's one thing that I talk to young people about. You can make a choice. You can chase bad stuff all day long. You know, it's out there. Move on, chase the good, follow the good, keep putting that out, and celebrate it, and post wonderful things, and inspire people, and increase your followers and your likes. And when I work with peace issues in the Middle East and a lot in Egypt, we were sharing stories about what happened after the Rabaa massacre and Tahrir Square, and there was a documentary on that, and a lot of people weren't understanding what was going on. They wanted to kind of bully one religion over another, or, you know, and then cyberbullying is a whole other conversation. But so we used the pictures and the messages from sisters to sisters, Muslim sisters to Christian sisters to Jewish sisters, standing together for justice. And I do feel, and so many feel, and even His Holiness the Dalai Lama says the world will be saved by, he says, the Western woman. I say women. Women are wired for nurturing. We have the children, we have the baby. We're the ones that keep the families together. The men are an incredibly strong link. They're vital to it. We hopefully can learn to keep our families together. But the nurturers, clearly it's in our DNA, are the women. I believe that this is an age of awareness of the importance of women nurturing compassion, and that we are stepping up to that, which will truly together then, sisters and brothers, change the world.
Well, a lot of women in around the world are still catching up to, you talked about the Western woman just a moment ago, Missy, and there are a lot of societies that they don't have the same freedoms and empowerment that we do in the West, you know?
Absolutely.
Now we're seeing some strides to change that, but not a lot, not fast enough, you know?
Never fast enough, but it is changing.
It is changing, it seems. I seen just months ago, and Dr. Fee, I don't know if you've seen that, but Saudi Arabia just finally approved women to drive a car.
Yeah, they did.
Now, listen, I thought women were always driving. I know they were driving me crazy, so I assumed they were driving cars. I had no idea, Dr. Fee. Talk to me, please.
Well, I think social media has also raised the awareness of what's going on globally with women. And we're able to access that information in a way that we were not able to years ago. And it's offering education for the women in the West to understand what the women in the Far East are going through, and to have that compassion and to be able to reach those other sisters in the world. Mm. Through social media, it has also leveled the playing field quite a bit for women, especially in the West, and because we are empowered, we also have a heart and compassion to empower other women. It's just part of the sisterhood. It's in us, and we can't help it. God put it there, you know.
Sisterhood is global.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely global, Missy, and I love what you're doing. I really do. But I see the playing field being leveled, that women now are building global businesses because of social media.
There you go.
Are building global missions because of social media. Mm-hmm. And now I can go and I can get a book out, or I can be the multimedia personality. I can do that because there are no limitations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the good side. There are no limitations to what we can do with this tool called social media.
It is. We're talking about the good right now in that. But, well, listen, let me take a moment and tell folks that you are listening to the powerful voices and personalities of two extraordinary women right here. Dr. Fee Wilson and Missy Crutchfield, and you both are truly amazing, by the way, if I haven't told you that today yet, okay?
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to America Out Loud. I'm Missy Crutchfield and so glad to be joining Malcolm Out Loud and our other guest, my sister here in this women's empowerment conversation, Dr. Faye Wilson. And we're here to raise your awareness and pique your interest about what's happening in social media. Whether you have children or spouses or just friends, you know it's out there. You know sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad and sometimes it can really, really ruin your day. And on that note, one of my pet peeves, and I'm going to throw it out to Malcolm and Dr. Faye and see what theirs is when on social media, people just put just nasty remarks out and treat each other. You have friends on Facebook, and whether you're so-called friends on Facebook, you actually know or not, because I think we all realize that a lot of people that could be our quote-unquote friends, they may be in another world and we've never even met them, but we're so flattered somebody sent us a friend request.
What
right?
A subjective
right.
Word Facebook used, you know what I mean? Well, let's call them friends. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Okay, how many strangers did you get today? Now, think a minute, ladies. Dr. Faye, you go to Facebook and say, whoa, I got 25 strangers today that tried to connect with me. And you say, well, how many strangers do you have? We'd make a whole new meaning to the word stranger. Think of that. Wow.
We would have fewer profiles on Facebook.
Yes.
I like it.
But it gets ugly. It gets ugly sometimes. Yeah. Somebody says something about a religion or about something somebody's wearing or something someone ate. And then they say things that you wouldn't say to another human being face to face.
Absolutely, missing it. And the reason people do that is because they don't consider you a real person on the internet.
Nice.
Right.
People text things they wouldn't normally say. They break up. Now we have Dear John text Dear John messages in your Facebook box, and people post these mean and hateful things because they don't feel that you can really do anything about it, and because you're not really real to them, you're not really human. You're just in this screen. You're just in this box, you know,
right.
And so I've been teaching people and talking to them about the way you approach that is that Facebook was smart enough. They were smart enough to give you a delete button and a block button.
Yes, ma'am. I've used them. How about you, Malcolm?
Well, you know, I will say to you both, listen now, here's the thing. There are two prongs to this that come to my mind. The first is this. You have to make a choice of to engage or not to engage. And the point is this, you don't need to respond to all these lunatics, okay? Now, I tell my son that all the time. I said, like, he'll sometimes put something for sale on one of these, like, eBay things or what have you, you know, some, like, his collection of Legos when he was 4, 5, 6, 8, you know what I mean? And I say, and then I'll get somebody with a sarcastic remark, say, don't respond. There is no need to engage sarcasm and rudeness. Let it go.
So Dr. Faye will just delete it.
What's that?
And I would too. Dr. Faye will just delete it.
Well, but if you don't engage, in other words, in my life, we throw a lot of social media out there. We throw a lot of good vibes and a lot of good conversations out there. Absolutely. But what I don't do, I just don't respond. Do you understand the difference?
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't bother my day. Somebody the other day, I remember seeing on one of the social media sites, had put in the comments, and I don't read the comments often, but occasionally I see one. I'm too busy to read all that nonsense. But somebody one day, they said, you're a faggot. And I said, oh, maybe that's a compliment. I don't know. But I left it there. I didn't remove it or delete it because I really don't care. Have a ball. Say what you want. put, you can, what does that say, what does that saying go, ladies, at the schoolyard? You can, sticks and stones will break my bones.
Sticks and stones,
names. But I don't care what you call me. Just call me, man. I'm happy if you call me. I'm okay with that, you know?
Well, I'm with Dr. Faye on some of the deleting, and I'm with you on leaving some of them up. I think it just depends on, I guess, what it is. But to your point, Malcolm, I will leave things up sometimes because it lets the world see how maybe ignorant that person is.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll rethink putting up something like that. But if it's very offensive, I delete it. And very often I'll block the person.
Well, you know why? Because we're not being respectful of other opinions.
Yeah.
We're not respecting. And you see, one of the things I love about America Out Loud, ladies, is we don't discriminate against an opinion. We're happy to have all opinions on all sides of the conversation or the aisle. And by the way, as we're doing this show and we're talking about social media and the technology and the toots and the tweets and the buzz and the vibrations, Missy's phone is going into overtime steroids. I mean, she obviously fed it too much oatmeal this morning, young lady. Tell us what's going on with that phone.
I've turned off half of the things. I'm like, now what is it? So I apologize.
No apologies necessary. It's funny. It's funny. And it's all part of our dilemma today. Well, you see, so normally we're on computers and we're programmed and recording in software and recording that way. But what happened with Missy is she was having her system updated, so she decided to use her phone for the connection, which we don't normally do. Normally it's through the PC or the Apple or whatever the laptop is they got, you know. And so today she went in, poor Missy, she went in just before the show on the warm-up and started shutting everything off. And Dr. Faye were waiting and waiting and waiting. And Dr. Faye and I were being very patient with her, by the way.
Thank you.
6 hours went by and we were waiting and waiting and waiting. And I had sweat dripping down my face. And Dr. Faye sent me a text and said, will this lady ever get with it, please, Malcolm? Who is she?
We were texting while we were
She said, who is this lady? What is going on here? What did you do to me, Malcolm? And she's sending me all these bad text messages, and I'm sweating here, and 6 hours later said, Missy,
you're a
get with it.
I'm going to go on Facebook and tell on you.
Use Twitter. I don't do Facebook.
Yeah, Twitter it. Tweet.
You can do 280 characters now, by the way, Missy. So
boy. They've gone up 40, huh?
They've gone up 140.
Take the president off of it.
You know, it's interesting. Again, the vibe and how you use social media. And as I just sent Missy down the railroad tracks here, as you could just tell here, and she'll hit me later on for this, I'm sure. She said, I just met this man and he's already being incriminating against me. Talk about bullies, right? But here's the thing. I know. But I had to share with everybody because so she's using the phone, and although she thought she shut everything off, there's still stuff tweeting. But you know what I do? I've always done this. I have a funny thing. You and I are different with social media in that regard, Missy, because I don't like technology talking back ever. Like on any case, I don't want it tweeting and tooting and ringing. So my ringer is on like always off or on really, really low, like really low. Because there's something about that that is bothersome to me. And so the point I'm making is this. Are you using technology for what you want to use it, or is technology using you?
Using me.
Yeah.
I think you've got a good point.
And that's the only thing. Well, I know your intentions are highly honorable. I just met you, but I know that immediately. But I'm just saying that we can shine a light right now with something really important, Missy, okay?
Yeah.
So what I do in my life, and now this is just me. I can't say this is for everybody. But what I did is I go into notifications immediately, and what I do is on every app or everything from the immediate moment I engage it, I disengage sound. There is no sound allowed on my devices, none. But there never has been because I don't want to run my life by that. I don't like things bumping and beeping and booping me at every moment of the day. And I just don't want it. And it's not even that I'm not trying to be rude. That's not even it. Although if you're at a dinner or a beautiful meeting or you're entertained, it could be rude, as you already said, ladies, right? I mean, it could be construed as that. And we said have the basket outside the room and all that. But there's something about it I find so obtrusive and so alarming to me that the machines are talking back. I don't like it, you see?
I agree.
And
You've
so,
opened my eyes even
well, God
more.
bless you. So for me, I just, so I'll tell you what, so I'm going to consider you're going to be a reformist now. You're going to be a reformed social media recovering addict of beep beep boop boop tee tee.
I will report back to you on our next show.
I don't let it abuse.
Now wait a minute, when's the last time one of you sat down and literally hand wrote a letter using cursive writing?
I actually just started writing cards again, thank you cards to people. Even though it may be a phone call or whatever, I decided that I wanted to keep that personal touch. And there are some things that I should not let go of.
Dr. Fay, will you send me one, please, a handwritten note?
Sure. Sure.
It isn't dying art. This is it means so much when you get something that's you can hold in your hand and touch and open up and see. It really does. And unfortunately, people don't use
it. Missy, I haven't written one myself in a long time, so I'm no innocent person here either. Have you?
It's, I think a month ago I did, but before that it had been several months at least.
Well,
yes.
I'm impressed. You did it a month ago. Wow. I mean, it's been a long time since I've handwritten anything kind of like that, I guess, you know. I don't know why. I guess we just don't do it. You know?
Yeah. It's all this is at our fingertips. It's so easy.
See?
But then it gets us in trouble.
Well, it does. But I'm connected with everybody around the world through text. I mean, and it's my means of communicating. And we use it in a good way. But I mean, I don't have time to do the crazy stuff. But I mean, people communicate with me through text. And brilliant people do. And really cool people. I mean, they'll just send it. Hey, Malcolm, what's happening? You know, what's going on? Or I have it. Whatever their message of the moment is. It's kind of funny that way, you know.
But autocorrect, Malcolm, drives
me. Oh, my
me
dear. Oh, wow.
There was one site where they had all the messages, the autocorrected, like really bloopers that parents had sent like to their kids. And some of them were really funny. Some of them kind of naughty that accidentally went out from parents that they meant something completely innocuous and sweet that turned into, it was hysterical. I wish I could find that again.
You got to be careful with that auto-correction stuff, I'll tell you. Especially when you talk into your phones all the time, which is what I do. I don't type the things with my fingers. I talk into it, you know?
Yeah.
And my language, as everybody knows, and the whole world knows, I have a dictation that is from Pluto. I mean, it's a third world. I mean, I'm from another planet. You know, seriously, that's where my ancestors are from, Pluto. And so my voice and dictation. So people always say to me, they don't say, you know, where are you from? They say, you know, what country are you from? And some people say, what planet are you from? You know? And the truth of it is I'm from Pluto. But you see, so with my dictation, when Siri hears me or whatever they call that device there and who dictates her messages, it kind of, you know, I'm a real hard cat to dictate with because I have a different language I use. So it's like, okay, what did he really say? Or what word is that? So, yeah, but you know, that's another point though, Missy, Dr. Fay, I wanted to share with you. There's, back to your point of proper etiquette and all, and this is important too, because everything is a reflection of you, your brand, and your soul. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, even though you talk into something, or you write an email, or you draft something, or you do something else, do yourself a favor, please. Reread it once, twice over before you hit the send button. Yeah. And there is so much ignorance out there and wrong things. Or like you just said a moment ago, Missy, the correction, what do they call that? The
autocorrect.
Autocorrect, please. Which sometimes you say, you know, happy, and it thinks you said, you know, hell. And then you say, have a happy day, have a hell day. That's a problem, you know, for some people.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And some of us has what they call an accent, you understand? And Siri don't do accents real well, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
And so it's really, really funny. But anyways, you've got to be careful. So, and I used to talk about that from an etiquette standpoint of your email as well, to make sure you always reread your emails twice, three times over. And I'll tell you another secret. You have in your email programs a little box or folder called draft.
Right.
So before you tell somebody off because you are spirited at the moment or feel like you want to, you know, ream somebody, go after somebody, save it in draft, friends, sleep on it overnight, and reread it tomorrow.
Great advice.
You know?
Absolutely right.
I mean, because I've seen that happen, and I do that. I never send anything out the first time. And even though I may feel like I've been insulted or I've been hurt or abused by somebody in some verbal tone, I don't take that as a personal insult, and I always, even if I say, damn, I want to tell them off, you know? You know what? Mm-hmm. And you know another thing you can do? Type your email in draft and type it in email and then delete it. Right? So you get off, you say, damn them, I hated what they did. That person is an SOB and a no good for nothing and a this and that. Uh-huh. And then get it all off your chest. Take a look at it, reread it, and then hit the delete button and say, then make a toast to the world. Say, here you are. Yep. Everything's good here.
That's right. There's a book I read a long time ago. Also, I want to share. It's just the cover. The title is What You Think of Me Is None of My Business. And I think that those are words to live by.
They are words. Yeah. Missy, that's the most profound thing to come out of everything we've said today. What you think of me is none of my business. That is a that is a lesson for all of us. And quite frankly, it's a lesson I want to suggest to you that I try to live my own life back. Now, listen, I'm happy when I've made you happy or you've made me happy and we feel pretty good about each other. Absolutely. But if if I've pissed you off in some way, I got to tell you right now, it is not going to ruin the rest of my day, my friends. And I don't mean that with any sarcasm, except that, you know what, we're all moving quickly in life. Mm-hmm. But if our goal is to be ladies and gentlemen at the end of the day, we can still be respectful to each other. That's all.
Right. Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what? And we don't have to agree on everything either, ladies. And you know what I call that? I want to bring back civil discourse. You understand?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's
respectfully disagree.
Is that okay?
Absolutely. Yes.
So there you go. And that's okay. And it doesn't mean we have bad morals or we're philosophically, you know, in the nut house or something else. We may just look at things a little differently. Now listen, that's what I love about the work we are doing at America Out Loud, friends.
Yeah.
We are shining a spotlight on the various opinions. You know, right at the top of America Out Loud, we have Let the Silent Voices Be Heard. Now, that's really important to me. It's what I put out there. It was my mantra. It was my mission early on when I started here. And it really is the birth of this phenomenal program here, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. We're going to continue on through this season with, you're going to meet, I'm telling you right now, brace yourself, 10 extraordinary women, and make no mistake about it. I mean, this is what is such a blessing about this body of work and the coolness factor. You talk about cool or the coolness factor? Well, these women all have the coolness factor. So if you go to the show page on AmericaOutLoud.com, just look under the talk shows, look for Life, Liberty, Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. And, of course, Season 1, they were pretty hot stuff, too, by the way. We got a lot of great friends that came out of Season 1, and many of them are on the platform now, and you know them, like Dr. Andrea Pennington, like Ava Armstrong, like Sally Fernandez, Gail Murphy, Erin Morgard. I mean, there are so many incredible women that came from this show. And I'll tell you more next time we meet on all this. But again, that's the really beauty of this show. So listen, communicate with us. If you have an idea, you have a topic, you have a thought, something great to say, or you got to get something off your chest, you can email us at talk@AmericaOutLoud.com. And just send us your thoughts, your ideas, and right there. Or you can connect with us on Twitter. Again, I'm on Twitter, @MalcolmOutLoud. You'll find me. Thank you for being part of this day on this show at this moment. We appreciate you very much. Dr. Faye Wilson, Missy Crutchfield, this is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.